He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, December 6th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We'll be looking at some reports, economic reports that came in today. But first, we look at the markets. The NASDAQ up 42 right now to 14,271. I think interest rates falling helping the NASDAQ right now. The Dow is up 87, 36,212. The S&P is up 13, 4,580, with a little over 3 weeks to go. The Russell 2000 up 1.25%. Small caps doing well today. That usually is tied to a drop in interest rates. Crude oil down $1.69. Wow. $70.63. Are we going to drop underneath 70? And will we refill the strategic petroleum reserve if that happens? We've got gold up $860. Wow. $2,045. Not too far from its all-time high. And, of course, the 10-year continues to be favorable here. The 10-year is down another 3 basis points after rocketing up to 5% a month ago. Now it's at 4.14. Look at the volatility in the bond market. And Bitcoin up 1850 to 44,008. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I keep waiting for a passive day in the market. And we just don't get passive days in the market, Barry. There are a lot of cross currents right now. If it's not Bitcoin, it's gold. If it's not gold, it's the volatility in the bond market. If it's not the bond market, it's something else. These are kind of crazy days right now here in early December.
I think cross currents is the best way to kind of best analogy to use, because you've got variables out there, right? We always have a bunch of variables out there, but they seem to be some are working against each other, some are working with each other. It's been plenty of news and items to go through on a daily basis for, feels like, for the last 2 years, right?
Oh, it keeps me busy. Well, look, you've got Bitcoin today at 44,000, all right? You've got gold at 2,045. There's been a big flow of cash, I suppose, coming from somewhere into those two asset classes. You've got the 10-year clear down to 4.14, about a month after it hit 5. 85 basis point drop unexpectedly during the month of November.
On those ADP numbers, we'll get to in a bit, but with rates dropping based on some of the economic data we're getting. So.
Yeah, and last but not least, you've got oil just barely hanging on to the $70 level here, $70.63, and this comes after OPEC cut another million barrels here at their last meeting. So, yes, there's a lot of cross currents in the market. We've pretty much stayed the course. We haven't done much. What we've been doing since the beginning of the year has been the right place to be. We're hitting a new high by far today for the year 2023 as far as how much we have under management, which, is a result of performance of the portfolios and new money coming in, et cetera. But it's been a wild year in the market. We're pretty much sitting tight right now. We are seeing some sector rotation threatening to happen underneath the surface of the market. If I were to paint it with the broad brush, I would say there is seems to be a move from high PE favored stocks into low PE unfavored stocks, but that doesn't mean the favored stocks are done yet. Some of them are having another good day. So you just have to take it a one day at a time, one stock at a time. You can't paint the overall market with a broad brush.
You mentioned the strategic petroleum reserve and able to refill that. One constraint that I didn't even realize existed until I heard I think the energy secretary or somebody from the energy department talking about it a couple of days ago is you can only refill 3 million barrels a month.
Wow.
Right? And so, how much of, all this you've been hearing about, oh, we're going to buy it back at a, better price. Well, you can only take advantage of the price so much, right, in a month if you can only refill up to 3 million barrels.
Yeah.
So that was a constraint I hadn't heard before. Apparently, you can pull it out faster than you can put it back in.
You can drain a bathtub faster than you can fill it.
Fill it up,
it
right?
Seems like. So, yeah, I didn't realize that there was that kind of a constraint on that. I would say the story right now are interest rates, and it has been the story pretty much in 2023 with extreme move to 5% in October. Yes, big correction in the market, then an extreme drop in November. I think the perception by bond investors has gone from the Fed maybe doing some more rate hikes to no more rate hikes. And now it seems like the bond investors are looking ahead to the day when they actually do a rate cut. That just seems to be the sentiment right now in the bond market. And, of course, those moves in the bond market, they greatly affect stocks because they definitely have a very, very tight at the hip relationship. Okay, all right, jobs data. Wednesday, the second Wednesday or the first Wednesday of every month is jobs week. We get the ADP, that's the private payroll report on Wednesday. On Friday, we get the non-farm payroll, the official report. Private sector employment rose by 103,000 when the street was expecting 123,000. Restaurants and hotels were the biggest job creators during the post-pandemic recovery, but that boost is behind us. But now we're seeing a return to this trend in leisure and hospitality. And I'm seeing it in the hotel stocks. I'm seeing it in the restaurant stocks. That's been a pretty good area of the market. What say you, Barry, about this ADP jobs report?
Yeah, well, I mean, first we'll clarify the ADP report has been a lot different than the non-farm payroll. So you can only take so much from it, but I think the interesting piece to me was, in terms of pay, annual pay rose 5.6% year over year, which is the slowest gain since September of 2021.
That's going to help inflation.
That helps inflation, and also in piece of that report, right, is that worker productivity, which has really been certainly lacking since COVID, was revised up. So, in other words, productivity goes up, it's going to bring labor costs down. So, part of this, I think, the biggest piece of the report is really its effect on inflation and what those, kind of the read-through on those numbers. So,
yeah, and I would say it's a softer report than expected, which
certainly
is good for the Fed, right? That's why we're seeing a drop in interest rates. The service-providing firms added 117,000 jobs, while the goods-producing sector lost 14,000 jobs. I would just say that the goods-producing sector is a little bit more tied to the overall economy, what we're producing, because that's going to impact down the road. But as for now, people are still going out to dinner. They're still traveling. That seems to be the trend. The consumer still remains pretty strong. The other thing I saw is that productivity jumps more than expected in Q3, We haven't seen that in a while, have we?
I mean, that's productivity from, you know, say over the last 15, 20 years, even more, right, has really, you know, been one of the drivers of, you know, bringing overall inflation down, you know, at, you know, pre-COVID for 10 years before the Fed couldn't even get to their 2% targeted inflation. They're actually under 2% forever. A lot of that was the American worker being more productive in what they were doing, and that those gains really, you know, in negative from really COVID, you know, leading up to, you know, just a couple months ago, really.
Yeah. Well, RSM U.S. Chief Economist Joseph Brasula said, if you want an economy that can grow faster and have strong employment and lower inflation, he says the answer is to boost productivity. And that's what happened. So now you've got more talk of that soft landing scenario, which we've been saying is going to happen here for several months. And this is more data that points to that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we are about where we are when we opened the market here this morning, fairly strong. Interest rates favorable after a weaker than expected ADP private payrolls report. An increase in productivity, that's a good thing for the soft landing scenario. And that's why the market is having a favorable day here, at least so far. The trade deficit comes in about as expected. We continue to bring in a lot more than we send out, but it did come in pretty much in line. Here's a worrisome story. The UK anti-fraud police say they arrested a suspect in fake plane parts scandal. Oh man.
Yeah, that's that one that's affected so many folks. I mean, who would, you know, you talk about, you always hear about fake pharmaceuticals, all these other things online. Fake plane parts seems they must have got they've kind of branched out, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to be flying to Bloomfield Hills or to Minneapolis or whatever other city we're going to visit with the plane made from fake plane or with fake plane parts in it. So anyways, they caught the guy, but now they got to figure out, you know, how many planes. I know Raytheon had a huge problem with bad parts. The suspicion center on the best-selling SFM-56 jet engine that were fitted on A320 planes made by Airbus, all and right. 737s. Here we go again with the 737s made by Boeing. The investigation deals with very serious allegations of fraud involving the supply of aircraft parts. They basically haven't been inspected. You know, they're supposed to pass an inspection and be stamped. And this guy was selling counterfeit parts. Wonderful. China launches a locally built new generation supercomputer. Well, you know, I mean, this is something they're trying to do because they've been shut out of the market of NVIDIA's, super chips. And, of course, we have a company here in the U.S. called Super Microcomputer, SMCI, which has been a big player and a very profitable company. China is trying to develop their own because of being shut out of the market. So we'll see what kind of technological advances China. Eventually, I think they come up with a pretty good copy or a pretty good rendition of what they're trying to build. Well, you know what? The law firms are already lining up against the weight loss drugs. Have you been harmed? You're going to see the commercials now. Now, these things have only been on the market. As diabetes drugs, they've been on the market for quite some time. But as weight loss drugs, not that long. although they've been using them for weight loss. Well, law firms representing people who claim that they were not adequately warned about the side effects of the GLP-1 class of weight loss drugs are trying to consolidate the lawsuits in a Louisiana federal court, Reuters reported on Wednesday. Since August, the claimants have filed about 20 such cases against Novo Nordisk and Eli Lilly, the makers of GLP-1 receptor agonists Wegovy and Mounjaro. The lawsuits allege that the companies played down or didn't warn consumers about GLP-1 related side effects such as gastroparesis or stomach paralysis. The heck, stomach paralysis?
I don't know what that is, but it didn't sound great.
No, I suppose if, you know, you really drastically change your eating habits and just really don't have the desire like you used to eat, that's got to be kind of a shock like to the system, right?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like, I mean, think of it maybe like a muscle, right, that atrophies or doesn't get used, right, as much, maybe. I don't know, you know, I'd have to look into that. But that's,
well,
I've heard of that with, you know, with, I mean, like pain drugs doing that to, you know, colons and things of that nature, right, large intestine, making things not move through your system as quickly as it should. But yeah, stomach paralysis sounds sounds pretty odd. Sounds like, well, part of your stomach dies, right?
Morgan & Morgan is one of the biggest firms in America that, you know, have you been harmed by this or have you been harmed by that? They're behind the lawsuit, but I'm sure there will be billboards on the highway before long or TV commercials, infomercials, you know, lining up to just wait for any kind of horror stories or bad stories coming from these weight loss drugs, which are pretty much, you know, a new frontier out there. Now, you know, it's when you get a lot of people on them, right, that the real side effects start to show up. Okay, here, yeah, U.S. faces limitations in refilling the strategic reserves despite oil near $70. Oh, well, they would love to fill it up here.
Well, no one told us. Like I said, I didn't know that. I mean, it says in the story 180, you know, million barrels. So if you can only refill it, what, three per month?
It takes
how many,
5 years.
How long is that going to take? Yeah, you think you'll need that strategic oil reserve before?
Well, you've got U.S. naval ships being attacked in the Red Sea, and you've got China amping up aggressions against the Philippines over in the South China Sea. You kind of want to have those reserves there just in case. But if you remember, you know, the strategic oil reserves were drained pretty much to bring down the price. There was a time during the Biden administration in the early part of his administration where oil and gasoline prices were going through the roof. And he chose, instead of amping up production in America, he chose to unleash the street, which is not really what it's there for.
No.
But, you know, when your favorability ratings were plunging like they were, that's what he did. And now you've got some pretty heavy restraints. Like you say, I guess you can train it a heck of a lot faster than you can fill it up.
Yeah, why don't we hear? I mean, you know, my whole thing is, you know, you were getting pushback whenever you announced it initially, right? And, you know, why didn't, you know, I don't know why, you know, that wasn't, you know, and maybe it was, but I feel like it would have been a story that would have been jumped on at the time.
That's a big, big issue.
Why don't we know that you can only refill it 3 million barrels a month, you know, at the time in which
I wonder where it was at. You know, when oil prices went negative there during COVID, and, of course, Trump was the president at the time, and he topped it off. I wonder how much it must have been pretty full when he topped it off. One last story here before we go to break. Apple climbed above $3 trillion yesterday again. Now it's back below $3 trillion. Smartphone optimism. Well, you know what? This latest rendition of the iPhone is not that big of a hit. We'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, markets pulled back just a little from the open. S&P up 10 right now. NASDAQ up 27. The Dow up 91. And that's where we stand right now on this Wednesday, December the 6th. Kathy Woods ARK Investment. It buys the dip in Genius Sports. ARK Invest snapped up 50,000 shares of Genius Sports on Tuesday to add to their prior position held in the ARK Next Generation Internet ETF. Woods' firm has made frequent buys of Genius Sports for ARKW, but none since the middle part of September. Well, you know what? I mean, I'm not a fan. This is a long duration, small cap. Will be profitable someday, kind of stocks. But I always like to see these stories of what she's buying, etc. This stock came public in 2020. It's out of the United Kingdom. They provide technology-led products and services to sports leagues, sportsbook operators, and media companies. You know, when I was growing up, my father, from time to time, would take me to the foreign book, they called it, in Mexico, in Tijuana. I was like 8 years old, you know, betting horses at
no age limit,
aqueduct.
Right?
And it was a chalkboard, right? It was a guy with a piece of chalk and a chalkboard, and he had beautiful writing. And you would, all of a sudden, someone would come on the loudspeaker, we got the results of the third race from Balmoral. And they would start writing them on the board. I imagine there's a little more technology than that today at these sport books where it's all electronic and everything like this. But anyways,
it's data. You think of it; it's like data for just as we pull in data into the app, right? Into the analytics, things of that nature. I guess they're a data firm pulling data into a sports book.
And that data is moving quickly. Okay, yeah. My first introduction to a spreadsheet was a totalizator board. At the horse races, where every time somebody bet, I mean, those numbers would flash every 30 seconds with new odds, the new amount of money that was been placed to win on each horse, to show, to place.
For the parimutuel.
The betting
right?
pool, right? Parimutuel, and there was a company in San Diego, not too far from where we were, International Totalizator, that came up with the tote board and everything. And I just kind of would, it was kind of mesmerizing. And of course, that's basically what a spreadsheet is. You change one little, input and the whole thing flashes and adjusts. And that's basically maybe that was my inspiration for
I was thinking it might have had more of an impression on you than you realized.
It definitely did. Cause I remember my very first computer being a K-Pro and how slow it was. And you could do 20 rows by 20 columns. I was the first one in our area to have a K-Pro and running spreadsheets. That's how all of this, that's the genesis of a lot of this. Berkshire Hathaway reaches a $300 million settlement in the Oregon fires. Well, is Warren Buffett an arsonist? No, they have an investment in Pacific Corp, a utility that was blamed for causing a fire in Douglas County, Oregon, that destroyed an estimated 170 residences. So rather than going to a jury trial, which would expose it to billions in damages, they settled for 209. I wonder how they reached 299 million. Instead of, you know, just around 300. But yeah, anyways.
There might have been more disclosures if you hit the 300 million mark, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? There's got to be a reason.
There must be a tax reason. Okay. That puts him to the lower bracket, the next lower bracket.
Yeah.
If he paid 300, I don't know. There's something funny about that. All right. Let's see here. We've got a hot little biotech today. Let's see if it's still moving. It was up 48% this morning. Let me see. Yeah, it's up 32%. Clinical stage biopharmaceutical, PHVS. That's actually a pretty good chart. You know, and I always put these on my watch list when I see something like this, a smaller biotech coming up with something. This is out of the Netherlands, announcing for experimental metaprimary in hereditary angioedema, a rare immune disorder. Okay, well, God bless them. Let's hope they come up with it. We've got some earnings. One of them is one of the stocks we own in our emerging growth portfolio. It's down 10.6% today, but it's a $126 stock. They make drones. You know what? Drones are a big deal in today's world. Look at the cache of weapons and drones that Israel found in the northern sector of Gaza. And the question is, Barry, how were those weapons getting into the Gaza Strip? It seems to be, I listened to an analyst from the IDF in Israel. He said there's only one way. They had to have been coming through Egypt. So you know what? There's going to be a lot of stuff exposed here. You know, when they're done taking out Hamas.
Well, when I saw something where they were thinking of, you know, potentially going to flood those tunnels, of course, you know, flooding those tunnels, you're probably weighing that against, you know, potential evidence, right, or other things that you could potentially, you know, intelligence that you could potentially find. Of course, you're weighing that also against, you know, human, you know, capital that's going to get
they're also worried about the environmental damage that it will do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've never seen a war fought like this. It makes you wonder how much of Iran is underground in tunnels. If Hamas is a proxy of Iran, which they are, Iran has got to have taught them how to do these tunnels. And, you know, we've had drones go into Iranian tunnels and blow up stuff, right?
Yeah,
probably coming from the Israel defense, but I got to believe that a great majority of Iran's nefarious work is being done in tunnels underground, which is warfare like we've never seen
before. I've grown up, you know, grew up between two Air Force bases on the panhandle of Florida, and we had all kinds of experimental planes and things flying over into Eglin Air Force Base. And one of the most unique things I saw in terms of, you know, the tunnel warfare is they've got these foam bombs that essentially will expand and basically block off the tunnel with a big old with a bunch of foam. Like, you know, think of it as you're trying to seal some, you know, pipe or wall, right? Your own wall, the little, you know, that little foam spray essentially, you know, blows up and seals it off. So it's pretty interesting in terms of,
and then they
what
the bunker,
technology is out there.
Bunker busting. Okay, you can't hold the home builders back. On one hand, they're not building tunnels, I guess, but they're building homes on top of the ground, maybe basements. Toll Brothers up 3.8%. New all-time high. One of the mistakes I made in 2023, I let go of Pulte Homes. I started getting worried when interest rates started really ratcheting up. We had, you know, the 30-year mortgage went over 8%. And a precautionary, I sold my Pulte Homes out of the dividend and growth portfolio. We had a profit in it, but in hindsight, which is always 2020, We shouldn't have sold it because it's hitting a new all-time high today, Barry, at $93.31. Well, you know, I was very, very bullish on the home builders until about August. Let's see, when did we sell it here? We sold the PHM around September, early October. That's when interest rates started really going up. But I knew, you know, from people in the industry, in the home building and home building supply industry, the suppliers, that the basic, piece of evidence that we have out there of how strong this area is, it's a shortage of homes.
Well, and new permits, and the new permits were significantly dropping, right? In terms of when you look back, as to what the selling reason was. That housing market's
been pretty darn resilient, and it's not. Going, and the home builders continued to report record sales and record earnings. It's a little bit scary for me. I'm thinking, who can qualify for a loan at 7.5-8% nowadays? But apparently, you know, it hasn't hit yet. And the new home builders, you got a new high today for Toll Brothers after reporting stellar earnings at TOL. All right, now we'll take a look underneath the surface of the market because things are moving today. What is it that's moving the market in those tunnels underneath the indexes? We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, year end coming up on us, New Year's resolutions coming up on us. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us from anywhere in the country, we can have a chit-chat with you, take a look at what you're doing now, what your plans are, certified financial planners, give us a call to set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Also, if you'd like to see what we've done this year in the market, what we think about the coming year, I send out the newsletter every Saturday morning or afternoon, depending on how busy the week is. You can get 2 free weeks of the full newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, rather, GundersonCapital.com. And then after that, we continue to send you the trimmed down version of the newsletter, which still has a lot of information in it on a weekly basis. GundersonCapital.com. Okay, the stock of the day is a little-known stock called Sera, S-E-R-A, Prognostics. It's the gainer of the day. The symbol is S-E-R-A, and they have a product. They just got done with clinical trials. They halted the clinical trials because the results were so compelling. They have a product which is used to help determine the risk of spontaneous premature delivery as part of a preterm birth prevention strategy. The study's Data Safety Monitoring Board has recommended halting the enrollment due to the efficacy, as the co-primary endpoints of the study have been met. So that is to prevent, having a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Having a miscarriage. I had a mother that had, I think, 4 or 5 miscarriages in her life. So I guess if you can determine whether someone is prone towards that, you can do things to try to prevent it. All right, now if we go to the Dow, I do see a pattern today. It's another day, again, this is the last 3 out of 4 days, where low P.E. Is in favor against high P.E. And that hasn't happened much in 2023. It's been definitely a growth year versus value stocks. I've been watching and and making a list of several potential value candidates that I've talked about here in the past couple of weeks for 2024. But I just don't think that the Fabulous 10, the Fabulous 7, whatever it is, are going to lead the market again in 2024, next year. I think there's going to be some rotation. And this is the time of the year when that rotation starts to happen as the big institutions begin to, rebalance their portfolio. Well, think of it, Barry, just from a mathematical point of view. They're overweighted in NVIDIA and AMD and Microsoft and Google because they've gone up so much. Tesla,
yeah,
right?
And,
okay,
and
so they're rebalancing.
Yeah, and even the index. Remember a certain part of the year, I guess around, what, July or so of this year, the actual indices rebalanced.
Yes.
down because
they get out of whack.
So much of it, yeah. So, just your normal mathematical asset allocation, right, would sell your winners and reallocate that to your losers,
yes.
Right? To get back into whatever your percentage is that you want.
And some of these positions become outsized from a percentage point of view just because they've gone up so much. We did some of that. In August or so before the big correction.
I think mid-July, yeah.
Yeah, we had some big outsized positions because they'd gone up so far. All right, so we're on top of that. We're watching that. Today you're seeing stocks like Boots Alliance, which is Walgreens. Yesterday I mentioned CVS, which had a good move. Today it's Walgreens, which is the main competitor to CVS. Walgreens is a member of the Dow. It's also a member of the S&P 500. It's the biggest winner in the Dow today. It's up 4%. Caterpillar, number two, up 1.9%. It's definitely more on the value side of things than the growth end of the spectrum. Boeing, number three, up 1.8%, and a Home Depot up 1.4%, okay? And then Disney up 1.3%. I saw an article in our local paper today. I do a lot of reading I guess the state pension fund, South Carolina, is going to unload all their Disney stock. So that fight continues to go on. Disney and Governor DeSantis, Disney and Elon Musk. Disney and the South Carolina pension fund. Over at the S&P 500, I'm seeing the same trend. The number one stock is Campbell's Soup. Now, that is not a high PE go-go growth stock at all.
It's a high sodium stock, though, probably.
I grew up on bean with bacon, chicken noodle, all the
chicken
favorites.
And stars?
I love it. And my mother would water it down a little. I think it's one can of water to the condensed stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody.
One can of water to the one can of soup. And you could cut it down even more to,
Yeah, I've become more of a the powder. The powder than adding some dehydrated vegetables and stuff. Makes a tasty little lunch with some Tabasco sauce. Now, okay, we've got Albemarle up 6%. That's a low PE lithium stock. Lithium stocks had a horrible year. The cruise ship stocks are doing well. You know why they're doing well? Because oil prices are falling. They're a hedge. They benefit from oil prices going down. And then I've seen some banks moving recently. I mean, Citigroup, it's got to have a very low PE ratio. It's up 4.9, and then I saw the airlines. One of them reiterated earnings for next year, maybe guided higher. Of course, they're being aided here, too, by a lot of times when a sector is moving. Okay, why are the airlines moving today? Well, just look at oil prices,
right,
hitting $69 a barrel here today.
And that's their biggest cost. Their biggest expense is jet fuel.
So, I mean, in order to invest in those, you would have to assume that that oil prices are going to continue to go down. So a lot of these one-day wonders and leaders, you have to look at why they're one-day wonders and leaders. Suffice it to say, the lower PE stocks are ruling the roost today for about the fourth day out of the last five. To get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, the full newsletter, and to set up an appointment with us, a planning appointment, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.